ప్రేమస్వరూపులారా,
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విత్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashant Nilayam. And welcome to Outside Inside, Deep Inside. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu. The Guru Purnima vibes, the Guru Purnima joy, the Guru Purnima feelings are so much still reverberant in Prashant Nilayam, though the celebration concluded on Tuesday. But the celebration, in a way, is still on because we have International Summer Conference going on, Living with Sai Conference, and you have daily, morning and evening, number of programs, all spiritual orientation, sadhana camp, and it feels like the Guru Purnima celebration is still so beautifully continuing in Prashant Nilayam. I had the opportunity some days back to give a talk in the Satsang Hall in Prashant Nilayam on this aspect of Bhagwan as the Guru, as the Sadguru. I think it is appropriate to play that here as we still reminisce the beautiful moments of being with Bhagwan on Guru Purnima Day. So here is the talk titled Pranamami Saisha.
Pranamami Saisha, Pranamami Saisha, Sakala Bhuvana Shubhakara Ghana Charita, Pranamami Saisha. Sakala Bhuvana Shubhakara Ghana Charita, Pranamami Saisha. Sakala Bhuvana Shubhakara Ghana Charita, Shrishti Sthiti Karaka Sugunakara Ratnakara Vamsabdi Sudakara, Pranamami Saisha. Sakala Bhuvana Shubhakara Ghana Charita, Shrishti Sthiti Karaka Sugunakara Ratnakara Vamsabdi Sudakara, Pranamami Saisha. సృష్టి స్థితి కారక సుగుణాకర రత్నాకర సకల భువన శుభకర, యువర్ హీలింగ్ లార్డ్ సాయి యాజ్ సృష్టి స్థితి కారక సుగుణాకర. హీ ఈస్ ద వన్ హూ టేక్స్ కేర్ ఆఫ్ ది ఎంటైర్ universe. Pranamami Saisha, Sakala Bhuvana Shobhakara Sakala Bhuvana. The entire universe, all the three worlds, Shobhakara, who fills with auspiciousness. In 2003, a very renowned chartered accountant of India, who was also known for his integrity, who was a great nationalist, he was among the top 30 influential people of India. He gets a phone call from a stranger from the US. And this person says, "Mr. Gurumurthy, I know you do not know me, but there is something of national importance. You have to do this for the country." He says, "What?" "Last few years, our MiG engines have been suffering many snags. In fact, in the last 18 months, 14 fighter planes have gone down." If you remember reading the news during that period, every now and then we used to hear about our MiG engines crashing. And it was always a mystery because people could not put their finger on where was something going wrong. Because it was not the incapability of our pilots, it was not the faulty design of the engines, but for some reason you would hear this news of another fighter jet crashing down. So this person in the US, whose heart was in India, he was constantly worried about what is happening to our fighter planes. So he did a lot of research, spent hours trying to read through the way the engines are done in India, the specifications of how it has to be done, our whole process, the system. After a lot of analysis, he found that we were suffering with this debacle because of some dark energy which was being orchestrated by our enemy country, our neighboring enemy country. So now he was very sure that it is because of this so-called occult and dark energy which the enemy country was employing that our engines were meeting this fate. So he told Mr. Gurumurthy, "You are the only person who can solve it for India. So what can I do?" He said, "See, I have done all my homework. There is only one person in this world who can counteract this. Those dark energies are very powerful, and I have read about all these superhumans who are there in the world today, and I am sure only Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba can deal with this. So you have to go to him, you have to present this problem to him and seek a solution for the country." So Mr. Gurumurthy says, "See, I have heard about Baba, but I do not know him. And from what I have known about him, it is not really easy to get an audience." Mr. Gurumurthy was a religious person. He came from a very spiritual background. He had a great respect for holy men, but he had never come before to Swami. He had heard about him, he had read about him. So he told the stranger, "It is not as easy as you think. It is not that today I go and Baba will call me for an interview and I will get the chance to talk to him." The man says, "I don't care how difficult it is. I don't know about how you can get audience with him, but you have to go and you have to do this." And Gurumurthy says, "See, probably you have to find someone else, someone who is a devotee of Baba. I am not that kind of a person. You please see someone else." He keeps the phone down. He calls him after 15 days again, "Did you go and meet Baba?" And he says, "No, and I don't think I can do this." He says, "No, you have to go. You have to do this for the country." So again he slept over it. He didn't know what to do. Third time, fourth time, he kept calling. For 2-3 months he was pestering him, you have to go meet Baba. Do this. One day he told, you say you are a nationalist, you have set up this organization, Swadeshi Jagran Manch, you say you love this country, you say you have dedicated your life for this country, I am telling you this is so important for the country, our fighter planes are going on, you can't do this for the country. And he said, okay. So he called up Mr. Venu Srinivasan, who was a close friend, chairman of TVS Motors, now part of the Tata Sons board. And he says, Venu, I need to go to Baba, can you take me? I have to speak to him. Swami was in Vrindavan then. So Venu said, sure, come along, we will go. I cannot promise whether you will get an audience with Swami, whether he will talk to you, but I will take you. Let's go together to Whitefield and we'll see what he wills, how it goes. So for the first time, Mr. Gurumurthy, Mr. Venu Srinivasan, together they are sitting in Whitefield and Bhagwan comes for darshan and does not even cast a glance at the side where both of them were sitting. Now Mr. Gurumurthy was getting tense. Now what do I do? Now if this is what happens, afternoon also, tomorrow also, once I go back, that man will again start calling me, harassing me, I have to do something. So, I said, okay, let's see what happens in the afternoon. Afternoon, when they sit there, Bhagwan comes, again in the darshan round, he just looks through them. And now Mr. Gurumurthy is very tensed, he says, oh my God, whole day has gone. There were two opportunities where he could have spoken to us. And this man says that only he can solve this problem. So that night he goes to Venu Srinivasan and he says that, you know, I don't know what you have to do, but tomorrow you have to do something. You know, you have come to Baba before, you have seen him before, you have to do something. You just can't let days pass like this and I can't stay here for 2-3 days more than that. Venu Srinivasan said, I told you this before coming. It's not in our hands. We can only pray. If only he decides to call, we can speak to him. He says, no, but we have to do something. So the next morning, darshan time, because this man was so restless, so when Bhagwan came, Mr. Venu Srinivasan just got up and he said, Swami, I said, what? Swami, want to talk to you, Swami, something of national interest. So Swami looked at them and said, okay, go inside. So they go inside the interview room and this man, for the first time with Bhagwan, Mr. Gurumurthy, he's seeing so many groups of people in the interview room. There was someone from Singapore, there was someone from Malaysia, and Swami was talking to all of them. Suddenly, as Swami was talking, he created a gold ring for a lady from Singapore, and he was wondering, oh wow, how did he get this? From where did he get this? First time he was with Bhagwan. Then Swami was talking, then he called this Hong Kong group, and then again Swami's hand went up in the air. And now Swami created a very big ring actually. It was a very big oval shaped ring, and Swami put it in the finger of one fat person. And Mr. Gurumurthy is thinking, wow, he created the perfect size. That's interesting. And then as he was talking, constantly he was bewildered, first time with Bhagwan. He was not even listening to what was happening. He was just so amazed with the going on in the interview room. And suddenly again Swami's hand went in a circle. Swami created a ring. This is a very small ring. And again Swami picked another person. And this was a thin person. And again it was a perfect fit. And Gurumurthy is like, wow. Every time he creates, it's a perfect fit. God knows, he might create something for me also now. And suddenly Swami looked at him, Swami called him near and Swami waved his hand. And Swami created the ring which was exact perfect fit on his finger. Srishti sthiti karaka sugunakara ratnakara. Everything, srishti, sthiti, laya is in his hand. Everything happens perfect. Perfect. And now that Swami called him near, and he felt a little closeness, because here was someone who, when he was looking at him, he was seeing him through and through. He was reading his thoughts. He knew exactly what was going on in his mind. So now he felt bold. Little Swami, I have to tell you something, Swami. I said, okay. So Swami took them to the interview room, inside interview room, Mr. Gurumurthy and Mr. Venu Srinivasan. And I said, okay, tell me. And he got that opportunity, so he started off saying, how Swami, this person from 4-5 months, he's chasing me, he's been calling me every day, he's telling our fighter planes are crashing, Swami, only you can do. He's saying he has done all the research, there is no one else who can help, only it is you who can save the country, Swami, I don't know what to do, I have come as a last resort. He went on, he unburdened everything that was going on in the last 3 months, all this trauma, all this pressure, everything that was bottled up in his mind, in his heart, he just told everything to Swami. Swami just kept quiet, heard everything. And then, finally Swami said, okay, now, you have told me everything. From this moment, you don't have to think about it again. Tell him that you have told me everything and this should no more be a concern for him. And then Swami waved his hand again, created a huge diamond. Again, it was a very big one. And Mr. Gurumurthy was stunned. But he came back out of the interview room very light. Finally, he was able to communicate everything to Swami. Swami said, give this to that American as my prasadam. So he came back and immediately called up this person and he said, you know, Baba, heard everything. You had told me to communicate everything to Sai Baba. I have done everything. He has given actually a prasadam for you. So this man from the US, he immediately booked tickets. In 72 hours, he was there at his home. And when he told him everything, and then he gave this prasadam, the ring that Swami has created for him. And when he saw, this man was a hefty figure. He was a tall, very well-built man. And again, it was a perfect fit. Swami has given a big ring and it fit him exactly. And from then on, if you have been following the news, you hardly heard about our fighter planes, our MiG engines crashing. After that, it was just normal if anything happened. But what had happened, like in 18 months, we had lost 14 fighter planes and that entire chapter closed in 2003 when Mr. Gurumurthy submitted this prayer to Bhagwan. And in the article that he wrote later and in the conversation that I had with him in the Radio Sai studios, he said, to me, Sai Baba is a dimensionless phenomenon. You cannot understand within our limitations of time and space. He is beyond all the dimensions. He is the dimensionless phenomenon of the universe. Pranamami Saisha Sakala Bhuvana Shubhakara. Sakala Bhuvana Shubhakara. He looks after the entire universe, all the worlds. In fact, there was a student, Sonu Ram Shankar. He went to Japan after his 7 years of study here, schooling, undergraduation, post-graduation. He didn't want to go to Japan, but things turned in such a way that he found himself in Japan. And once he was in Japan, every day he used to tell Swami, Swami, why did you bring me here? Why did you bring me here? I didn't want to come to Japan. I wanted to be in India. So one day Swami comes in the dream and Swami says, you have come here for my work. And he was wondering, what is his work? He was feeling like fish out of water because here he was so used to doing Swami's work along with his job. So there he started looking for a Sai center. So he was in southern Japan. He figured that there was a Sai center very close by. He went there and then he heard that there is a Veda conference happening in central Japan. So he went there, and once he went there he found one more classmate who was teaching Vedam in central Japan. People of southern Japan were waiting who will teach them Vedam, because they were all so keen to learn Vedam, and the Japanese people were so interested because Swami has told in 2003-2004 is the time when Vedam started being chanted in the Sai Kulwanthal on a daily basis. It started in 2004. And during that time, people there took a lot of interest in learning Vedam. It is very difficult to actually do the script, the Devanagari Sanskrit script in the Japanese language, because Japanese language has the Chinese origins. And you can't have all these vowels, ka, kha, ga, gha, ta, tha, da, dha, all that is very difficult in the Japanese script. But they actually developed their own language to write these Vedam scripts. That's how passionate these Japanese people were to learn this Vedam. And given that they were all perfectionists, they would spend hours and hours. In fact, there was a 90-year-old man, and he said, I have to learn this. There was this boy, Raman, in central Japan. He started teaching Vedam, and now they have having a two-day workshop, and they are searching for who will teach Vedam in southern Japan. And this boy who had just joined there, they said, oh, you are in southern Japan, you have to teach us Vedam. And that is how he started teaching them Vedam. There was another boy, Anant Prakash, in northern Japan. So during that time, south, north and central Japan, there were three boys and all of them were involved in teaching Vedam. That is how he looks after the prayers of devotees. And during that time, in March 2011, there was the Fukushima nuclear reactor catastrophe. If you have been reading the news at that point, a tsunami happened and there was all these radiation fear. And our Sai devotees were going to areas where even the government was fearing to go. No other voluntary organization was stepping into those areas. But Sai devotees, Sonu Ram Shankar was one of the students. He believed that, you know, with Swami's name, we can do anything. So there was one area where they have to go and help people, but they have to pass through this high radiation zone near the Fukushima reactor. And everyone said, no, you don't go through that because you will definitely be affected with this dangerous radioactive material. But all of them, led by Sonu Ram Shankar, they felt, no, there are people there stranded there, we have to serve them, we have to go. And so they said, we will chant Vedam, we will chant the Mahamrityunjaya Mantra. So with Mahamrityunjaya Mantra as their kavach, they started and they went through that entire area and they went to the other side. They offered the food and clothes, whatever was needed for those people. And as they were crossing that area, they looked at the sky and they saw a beautiful rainbow. Nothing happened to any of them. The radiation did not touch them. That is how Bhagwan, who is the caretaker of all the universes, was looking after his devotees. We offer salutations to that enigmatic personality who is the one who preserves all the worlds everywhere. And that is what is conveyed in this Pranamami Sai Isha Sakala Bhuvana Shubhakara Gana Charita Pranamami Sai Isha Sakala Bhuvana Shubhakara Ghana Charita Shrishti Sthiti Karaka Sugunakara Ratnakara Vamsabhi Sudakara Pranamami Sai Isha. Sugunakara. Sugunakara means the one who is full of all the virtues. When Bhagwan was in Uruvakonda during his school days, he had to carry water for the family. He was staying in his brother's place. There was a well 3 kilometers away, and his daily schedule consisted of 3 times in the morning and 3 times in the evening going to and fro this 3 kilometers with a pole on his shoulder, and on either side of the pole there were pots of water. So he had to do this every morning and evening, 3 times in the morning, 3 times in the evening, 3 kilometers away. Swami used to do this to get water for the family. In fact, after some time when Mother Ishwarama came there, and when Mother Ishwarama was giving an oil bath to Swami, and that's when she noticed that there is a thickened black mark on Swami's shoulder. And he asked Swami, what is this? And Satya just brushed it aside. He didn't want to say, it's not just, I don't know. Actually, in fact, even when she was touching there, Swami was not feeling the pain. It had become hardened. And so the mother insisted, no, tell me, how did this happen? This is not normal. And then Swami said, no, nothing, just, no, you tell me, you have to tell me. And that's when Swami says, no, you know what, here there's a water problem, I have to go and get water, no. So I just do it. Mother says, what? I didn't send you here to be exploited. You came here to study, stay with your brother. He said, no, it is fine. See, they need water, no, to survive, to thrive. This water is their life and I am happy to do it. In fact, this is my duty. I have come for this service only, Amma. Swami says, even at that point, he does not say, this is how sister-in-law is teaching me, this is what they are happening, this is what they are saying, this is how I am being treated. No, he didn't want to say anything to anyone. In fact, until Swami's sister, sister-in-law, all those family relatives were there, Swami should never talk about their family. Only Swami started talking about his childhood only after 1995, 2000, when all these people had left the earth actually. Until they were there, he would never speak. That is the virtue that Swami was telling, how we should uphold your family's honor. What is tolerance? What is patience? What is service?
Pranamami Sai Isha Pranatarti Hara Pranatarti Hara Shiva Shakti Rupa Pranatarti Hara Shiva Shakti Rupa Bharadvaja Gotrodhava Pranatarti Hara Shiva Shakti Rupa Bharadvaja Gotrodhava Nipadamu Soki Bhuvidanyamai నీ కరుణ కిలను ఎవరు సాటి నీ పదము సోకి భువి ధన్యమాయ్ నీ కరుణ కిలను ఎవరు సాటి నీ పదము సోకి భువి ధన్యమాయ్ నీ కరుణ కిలను ఎవరు సాటి ప్రణమామి సాయిషా ప్రణతార్తి హరా Shiva Shakti Rupa Pranatarti Hara. He is the one who removes the distress of devotees. It was in Guru Purnima 1963, we all are aware of that incident when for 7 days Swami's body was paralyzed. And from 28th June, this torture was going on in the minds of everyone. A lot of people spreading all these rumors about Swami. All the power has gone out of him. No, suddenly some ghost has entered into him. No, we were telling you he is not genuine. He is a pseudo Baba. See, now he has himself become a sick person. He is not going to survive. So all those things were going on. The devotees did not know how to react. And then Swami finally announces that he is going to come down and give this discourse on Guru Purnima morning. And on that morning, when he is brought down from the first floor of the mandir, his entire one side was completely paralyzed. So 4 people had to lift him actually on the chair, lift him and put him, and they had tied a handkerchief on his one side of the face, one side of the head. It is so difficult. It was heart-rending for anyone to see Swami. His entire body, one side was completely paralyzed. His leg was scratching the floor when they were trying to move him and keeping him on the throne. And his face was twitched. His tongue was stuck. And everyone thought, what is happening? Then they thought, why did they bring him? It is sacrilegious. Why did they have to bring him? Why does he want to come down? Then Swami was signaling that he wants to talk. And then, Swami, how can you talk? You can't. Look at your condition. Then Swami asked for water. And then Raja Reddy, he takes this water and takes it to Swami's mouth, and Swami's paralyzed right hand just drops he puts his fingers into the tumbler of water, and he takes few drops of water and he sprinkles it on his left hand, and then the left hand suddenly regains life. And then he takes more water, and now with both the hands he sprinkles the water on the left side of the body, on the legs, and slowly, suddenly Swami, he just stands up, all the pillows fall off, he stands up and he starts discourse, Prema Swarupalara, and the whole hall reverberates, clapping, Jai Bolo Bhagwan Ji Satya Baba Ji Ki, Jai Jai, and Swami starts his discourse, Prema Swarupalara, and that was that historic Guru Purnima
of 1963 when Bhagwan announced that he is Shiva Shakti, and Swami announced how the 7 days of pain that his left side of the body underwent was because of a boon that he had granted to sage Bharadwaja, who had come to Kailasha and he had asked for their permission, their presence at the yagyam he was doing. And because he was standing in Kailasha for 7 days and his body had become numb and he had fallen down, so Shiva, out of his compassion, said, Shakti, who did not notice you for 7 days, and because of Shakti's missing you, that you underwent this pain, Shakti herself will undergo this pain. We will together undergo this pain. So when I come down as Shiva Shakti, Shakti will undergo this 7 days of pain. And that is how Swami revealed that he is Shiva Shakti Swarupa, and the Prema Sai will be Shakti, and what was Shiva was the Shirdi Sai Avatar. And Swami said, while that was the remote cause, the immediate cause was there was another devotee who had to suffer 4 heart attacks, and he could not have survived that. So I took upon myself those 4 heart attacks to save that devotee. So, Apastamba Sutra, Bharadwaja Gotra. Pranatarti Hara Shiva Shakti Rupa Bharadwaja Gotrodbhava. Going back to Swami's childhood, once Swami was in Uruvakunda, so it was the phase where Swami whole night had spent doing Abhishekam to a shrine called Budagavi in Uruvakunda. And that morning, early morning, he came. He used to stay in his brother's house. It was a very, very small house. Swami's sister Venkamma also used to stay in the same house. In the front room, Swami's sister Venkamma, her son and Swami used to stay. And there's one more room for Sheshmaraju, his brother, and his wife. Early morning, Swami comes, and then Swami says to Venkamma not to tell anyone that he was away. And then Swami shouts, he goes to the washroom and he shouts that a scorpion bit me. Swami starts that scorpion drama. And then from that day onwards, his behavior changes and he becomes very violent sometimes. He becomes very restless. So people don't know how to deal with him. And he started saying mysterious things. And every time his brother thought that, you know, we have to take him to, maybe somebody has entered inside his body, you know, they want to take him to an exorcist. So all that happened, they take him to Kadri, they take him to various places, and we have heard all the stories of how that exorcist, he cuts his skull, he shaves his skull, makes off. So Swami undergoes all those trauma of being someone thought to be possessed by a ghost, and at that point in time also Swami's face becomes red, and Swami is undergoing everything. Then there was someone who said, no, no, we have to take him to Ghatikachalam. There is a Narasimha Swami temple there. Narasimha Swami is very powerful. If you take him there, then Narasimha will be able to cure this boy who is possessed, and he is telling so many things. Because Swami should suddenly come out with poetry. Swami should suddenly expound on the Gita. There was a scholar who used to chant the scriptures just opposite Seshmaraju's house. And suddenly Swami says, tell that scholar all that he's telling is wrong. He comes and he's wild. He says, what does this know? His little fellow, what does he know about scriptures? And then Swami recites everything he was chanting. And he says, all these points you're chanting wrong, chant properly. So all those things were happening at that point in time. Uruvakunda was completely in a turmoil, trying to understand what is the new phenomenon who's come, which is bewildering everyone. And so there's this person, they say that we have taken him to Narasimha Swami. And so they're making plans, the travel plans, to go to this Narasimha Swami temple so that he will cure Swami. And Swami suddenly says to this person, hey, who do you think is there in Narasimha? You want to take me to me? Are you a fool? So that person gets very agitated. How can this person talk like this? How can this person say that he is Narasimha? What does he think of himself? So at that point in time, Swami's father, Venkaparaju, he also lost his patience. So he takes a stick, 23rd May, and at that point in time, he says, enough's enough. And he takes the stick and he says, tell me, who are you? Are you a ghost? Are you a madcap? Are you a rogue? Who has possessed you? Tell who you are truly. And that is when Swami, for the first time, declares on May 23rd, 1940, he says, I am Sai Baba. And that stick falls down and his father says, Okay, I don't know what is this Sai Baba, Hai Baba. You tell me, who is that? When are you going to go from this body? He thought someone is possessing, that person is speaking. When are you going to leave and go? And that is when Swami says, I am Sai Baba. I belong to the Apastamba Sutra from the Bharadwaja Gotra. I have come because Venkavadhuta and so many saints prayed for my coming. I am here to bless you and remove all your troubles. Every Thursday, make your hearts pure, wear fresh clothes and worship me. I will take care of all your troubles. And that whole afternoon and till the night, Swami kept on saying Apastamba Sutra, Bharadwaja Gotra.
Pranatarti Hara Shiva Shakti Rupa Bharadwaja Gotrodhava Nipadamu Soki Bhumidanyamai.
By the touch of your feet, this earth has become sacred.
Ni padamu soki bhuvi danyamai, ni karuna kilanu yavaru sati.
Can anyone match your compassion?
Ni karuna kilanu yavaru sati. Pranamami Saisha. Ni sa ga sa ga ma ga ma pa ni pa ni sa ni sa ga ga sa ga sa ni pa ni sa ma pa pa sa ni pa ma ni pa ma ga sa ga ma pranamami Saisha. Ni devya avataramu kalilo prema itihasamu tava charanam mama charanam bhakti mukti pradayakam pranamami Saisha. Saga samaga sapamaga sa ni pa pa maga ma ni pa ma pa ni sa ga ma pa ni sa ga ga sa ni pa ga sa ni pa ni ma pa maga ma prana mami Saisha. Sadhu mauni jana prarthana phalitam Ishwarambasutani jananam dharmo dharanaku saradhyam Vishwamanavataku bhavya bhavitavyam pranamami Saish. Sadhu mauni jana prarthana phalitam.
I came because of the prayers of sadhu jana. It is because of the sacred pleadings of the saints, of the holy men, that I come. God is eternal witness. There is nothing in the world that is enjoined on him to do. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, there is nothing in the universe that I am obliged to do, but I still work. If at all he does something, it is only in response to prayers. Even when Bhagwan was not well, Swami said, you pray. Because he can only act in response to prayers. Otherwise, he is just a witness. He doesn't have to do anything. He will not do anything. Because he has just set everything in motion. He will only respond to prayers. If you see anything that Swami has done also, all the projects, it will always be somebody's prayer. Mother Ishwaram has prayed that, you know, you have a drinking well. So Swami magnified it and made it the water project. She prayed that you please have a school. Swami magnified it and made it a Institute of Higher Learning. But for every little thing you see, even for the Gram Seva, every project, there was someone who prayed. Someone who has to be that instrumental cause. Because otherwise the Lord doesn't have to do anything. So, Venkavadhuta was a saint associated with the Ratnakara clan. He was from the Maharashtra. And Kondamaraju, the grandfather of Swami, was someone who had a... They say he had met Venkavadhuta, so we don't know whether he had met in person or he had a vision of Venkavadhuta. But Kondamaraju was a very, very pious person, one of the first people in Swami's family who recognized the divinity of Bhagwan. And used to always talk about Venkatapaduta to the family. And whenever he would talk about this great saint, he would say that no face was bereft of smiles when Venkatapaduta walked past that street. No door of the house closed when Venkatapaduta walked that path. He was like a free bird. He was like a bird on a flight of ecstasy from earth to heaven. Everyone felt that they are connected to him. Everyone felt a kinship with him, but he was not attached to anyone. He was never hungry, but if people around him were hungry, and if they were eating, and if he was offered food, he would eat. He never wanted to wear anything, but if people clothed him with some dress, that would be on his body. The sun washed his body, the rain cleaned his body. He slept under the blue skies, and his eyes shone like a brilliant sun. And wherever he went, when he touched someone, it was a prelude to paradise. No one knew where he came from, no one knew where he was going, but wherever he went, he created a ripple of sanctity and auspiciousness. That is what Kondamaraju used to talk about Venkatapaduta. And it was Venkatapaduta who had told Kondamaraju, "The earth is in distress. Narayana is coming. Narayana is coming. The earth needs the divine." In fact, the samadhi, the Jiva Samadhi of Venkatapaduta, is there in Karnataka, bordering Andhra Pradesh. They say that once when he was passing through that village, a bullock cart had fallen into the well, and people were struggling to remove the bull, and Venkatapaduta just went there. He said, "Why are you struggling?" And he just called out, looked inside the well and called out to that bullock, and that bull just walked up the well. And they felt, "Oh my God." They told, "Oh holy man, you don't go anywhere, you please stay here." So he stayed there. Someone built a hut for him, and a peasant, a farmer, used to look after him. And the very spot where he was staying, they did a samadhi. He left his body there. It so happened that area, later on when construction happened, it became the center of a road. So people wanted to move it. At that point, some Muslim ruler was there. I'm talking about 18th century. So he said, "What is all this? Remove all this." So all these people, with a lot of reluctance, they tried to move the samadhi. When they dug the samadhi, they found that when he underwent Jiva Samadhi, like Jiva Samadhi means like you are just sitting and you pass on in meditation. So they had kept lamps and everything there. To their utter amazement, they found that the lamp was still burning under the soil. So that is the sacred shrine of Venkatapaduta, which is still there. It is the prayer of Venkatapaduta. And saints, like if you have heard about Aurobindo, if you have read his life, just the day after Swami was born, on November 24th, 1926, he called all the people of his ashram. And in fact, he had stopped giving discourses for so many months prior to 1926. And he used to always talk about an overmind. Generally, Aurobindo's lectures are very esoteric. He started referring to a supermind and started calling it overmind. And he used to always talk about the ascent of man into higher consciousness. But during that period, he used to talk about the descent of higher consciousness. And it is during that period that on November 24th, 1926, the day after Bhagavan was born, he called a meeting of all his ashram inmates, and he was in silence for 45 minutes. And then he said, "The descent of the supra consciousness, Krishna, has happened into the physical." That is all he reveals. And after that, he does not talk. He lives for many more years after that, but he does not talk. He feels that his purpose is over, all the sadhana that he was doing for mankind. So sadhu mauni, it is all the prayers of all the saints and sages, which is the result you have the Satya Sai Avatar.
pranamami saisha sakala bhuvana shubhakara ghana charita pranamami saisha pama pama gama pa sa gama pa ni sa gama pa ma gama pa sa ni pa sa ni sa pama ga sa ni pa ma gama ga sa ga sa ma ga pama ni pa sa ni pa ma gama prana mami sa isha surya chandra agni trinetra shobhita rupa jita bhakta hridaya pamara janata patraya kshayakara sutra traya bodhaka pranamami saisha ni pama ga sa ni pa sa ni sa ga ma pa ni ma pa sa ni sa pa ma pa sa ni sa ni sa ga pa ni sa ma pa ni pa sa ni pa ma ga sa pa sa sa pa pa sa ni pa ma ga sa ga ma pranamami saisha chandrabimbamuna suryagolamuna velige tejo rupam antalona drugocharamayedasavata vaibhavam pranamami saisha.
If you hear about the stories of the earlier times in the 40s and 50s, if you have read Anneta Sharanam Nasti, Surya Chandra Agni Trinetra. So one day in the Chitravati Sands, when all these people are going there, Swami suddenly disappears and Swami says, look up, I'm on the hill. And everyone sees Swami. Swami is there on top of the hill. And Swami says, all of you, see, I'm going to give you the darshan of sun. And it was already dusk, it was already dark clouds, it was already in the evening, and Swami, I'm going, the vision of the sun, and everyone is looking at Swami, and suddenly they see a huge ball of light behind Swami's hair, and slowly it's like the rays of sun coming up, and it's red, becoming hot, and they are all now feeling so hot, Swami, it's very hot, and it becomes so bright, though it was evening, and Swami is very hot, Swami says, okay, and everything calms down. Swami says, look here, I'm going to show you the moon. And then Swami says, they see a honey-colored rays of the moon. It becomes white, and becomes fully white. And so soothing, and so beautiful. And Swami, it's very cold. Swami, it's very cold. And he says, okay. And he says, okay. Now I'm going to give you the darshan of the third eye, Trinetra darshan. And then all are looking at Bhagwan, and now this Bhagwan completely disappears, and now his face becomes big, and then as his face becomes big, then an orifice, a hole appears in his face on the third eye, and then they see sparks of light just gushing forth from his face, and those sparks were so terrifying to look at that most of the people, they fall down, and people have fallen unconscious there, and then after a while, suddenly they see Swami's come back. He's between them. He says, What happened to all of you? He says, Swami, you are there. We are wondering what happened to you, Swami. My God, Swami, you don't go anywhere. You are all concerned what will happen to Swami. Swami, you are fine. We are so concerned about you. And so many people have fallen there unconscious. And then Swami creates Vibhuti. And says, What happened to you, all of you? Swami creates Vibhuti. And then he brings back to consciousness all these people. And then, as they are going back for the next 2 days, they are all people like they are in a delirium. It's like it's a very sweet feeling, it's a nice feeling, but at the same time, you know, they are all dizzy. They don't know what is happening to them. And then Swami says that for so many births you were praying for the Trinetra Darshan. For so many births you were praying. I granted you this, but you could not withstand even 1,000th part of the power of that Darshan. What can I do? So that is very beautiful. Bhajan describes this.
Bhola Shankara Bhola Surya Chandra Pralayagni Netra Dhara Shakti Sahita Shiva Natana Manohara శక్తి సహిత శివ నటన మనోహర భోలా శంకర భోలా ప్రణమామి సాయిషా సకల భువన శుభకర ఘన చరిత ప్రణమామి సాయిషా సానిపమప గమపని సాని సగసని సగస మగసని సగసని పని సని పని పమ గమప మపని పని సని సగమ మపని సగమప మగ పమగస గమపని సాని పని పమగస గమ ప్రణమామి సాయిషా సంగీత సర్వజ్ఞనై గమ పారమ్య భాస్యాత్ వచో నిపుణని లీలా మహిమలు వినోదములు చిత్ర విచిత్రములు దివ్యము భవ్యము నవ్యము రసరమ్యము నీ పదమే పరమ పదము ప్రణమామి సాయిషా మ గ మ ప మ ప మ గ మ ప గ ప మ గ స గ స గ గ స గ గ స ని ప ని స ప మ గ మ ప స మ గ ప ని ప మ గ గ మ ప స ని ప స ని ప ని ప మ గ మ ప ని ని స ప ప ని మ మ ప గ గ మ ప మ గ స గ మ ప స ని మ ప ని స గ స మ గ స గ మ ప మ గ స ని ప ని స గ స ని ప మ గ మ ప ని స గ స ని స ని ప ని ప మ గ మ ప్రణమామి సాయిషా కోరిన ఫలముల నల్లా నుసగే చింత ద్రుమం చలిమి కాండా ముచ్చట దీర్చే కల్పభోజం తలచినంతనే సృష్టి జరుగు సత్య సంకల్పం ప్రేమ రూప సాయి కరతల మే కల్పకం ప్రణమామి సాయిషా.
ఇస్ అ వెరీ బ్యూటిఫుల్ స్టాంజాస్ విచ్ డిస్క్రైబ్ ది లవ్లీ లీలాస్ దట్ స్వామి యూస్ టు డూ at that point in time, when in Urvakonda once, when Swami was in the classroom, and suddenly Swami raised his hand and Swami started showering akshatam, yellow rice, on all the boys and all the classmates and teachers. Where is it coming from? And then Swami just showed his right hand. So in the left hand, he showed the right hand and said, see, can't you see the lotus? There is lotus here. Swami said, Shankha Chakra Gada Padma. There was one science teacher, Venkat Ramana, who was always in doubts, and of course it's natural at that point in time, 14-year-old saying I'm divine and all that. So one day he comes and tells Swami, I want to challenge you. I don't believe you are divine and all that. Swami says, okay, you test me, tell me what you want. I will do whatever you want. He says, okay, I'm going to break this coconut now. Can you tell me in how many pieces it is going to break? Swami says, yes. You break the coconut, it will break into 5 pieces. And he breaks the coconut and it is exactly 5 pieces. Even then, this Venkat Ramana, science teacher, he does not believe. He says, no, it just happened, freak incident. But his wife was a very ardent devotee of Bhagavan. Wife used to believe, faith comes generally easy to women. And after that, Venkat Ramana suddenly fell sick and he had terrible stomach ache. And his wife went to Swami. And as soon as the wife went there, Swami told, your husband's stomach problem, na? Swami created Vibhuti and Swami gave. The moment Swami created Vibhuti, at that time only, Venkat Ramana's stomach ache disappeared. So all these beautiful leelas happened during those days, 1940s, you know, because he had to really break the shrouds of ignorance that people were in at that point in time. When people are doubting Swami, similar incident happened. Swami said, the coconut in the Shankulama shrine broke into 3 pieces, Swami says. What is nonsense he's talking? And just then some devotees came from the Shankulama. Shankulama was a village deity. And they said, yeah, just now actually we broke the coconut there and it was into 3 pieces. So there was a lot of these instances during the early years, you hear also the story of how a person, just like in Shirdi Baba's time, he lost his horse carriage and he comes to Swami and Swami says, go 1.5 kilometers and you'll find your horse carriage. So all those leelas happened during those years. And this leelas are bhavyamu. That's what this beautiful kriti, it's Pancharatna Kriti of Bhagwan, describes. Chitramu, vichitramu. That is how all these leelas are.
Pranamami Saisha Sakala Bhuvana Shubhakara Gana Charita Pranamami Saisha Sasa Sasa Ganini Samaga Pasani Pamani Pamagama Gamapa sa sagamani samagama sagani sagama pani pama gamapa ma pani pama sani pani pama ni sani sagama pani sani pama pasani sani pani sani saga sa amaga sa pama gasa ni sagama samaga ni saga gamapa ma gasa ga ni saga sa ni pani sani pama ni pama gasa gama pani samaga sani pani sa gama ni sa gama sani pama gasa gama prana mami sa yi sa adiyantya muleni adbhuta lila vinodam Sai prema kadali karatalalasyam bhaktaniki okakshanamuna divyanubhutula paravasyam marukshanamuna satya prema karshana manava sahajanaijam pasitanambunane paramatma ga neriginalanati bhaktula bhagyame bhagyam prana Mami Saisha.
Very beautiful Adi Anta. There is no beginning, there is no end to the glory. And it talks about the people who had faith in those times were really the blessed ones, who even at that point in time were confirmed in his faith. Everyone was doubting, but the people who recognized him way back in 40s were a very blessed lot. They made most of this chance. And there's one lady like that, Kameshwar Amma. She was the wife of Tammi Raju, one of Swami's teachers. This Kameshwar Amma was a devotee of Shirdi Baba and she had complete faith in Swami. And Swami once had sent her a pedestal and Swami told, you do your worship, place your throne on this pedestal. And she used to do her puja there. And one day Swami himself came to the puja room and Swami stood on that pedestal and Swami said, tell me whose darshan you want to have. And Kameshwarma didn't know what to say. Swami said, I'll grant you all the darshans. You have so much faith. And even as she is seeing Swami, she says that the whole scene changes and it is like a screen and she is seeing the scenes that she has only read in the Bhagavatam. She sees the scene of Krishna with the Gopalas. She sees the scene of Gajendra Moksha. She sees the scene of Prahalada and Hiranyakashipu. She is seeing the scene of Krishna with the Pandavas. She is seeing the scene of Krishna killing Kalia. She is seeing the scene of the avatar of Buddha. She is seeing one after another. She is seeing Rama. She is seeing Vishnu in the Kshira Sagara. So all those stories that she had read in the Bhagavatas, everything was just coming live in front of her eyes. And in the end of that entire euphoria of darshans, she sees Shirdi Sai smiling. That was how blessed the devotees at that time were, who had faith in divinity. And there were so many like that. Not too many though. There was another Vishalakshamma, the wife of Kasibatla Sri Ramamurthy. one devotee, they were also very devoted to Shirdi Sai. The people who were devoted to Shirdi Sai, they could see Swami had given her a piece of cloth which was part of Shirdi Baba's robe, Shirdi Baba's kafni, Swami had presented to her. So people who recognized his divinity then made the most of the chances. And it was in Urvakonda that Swami goes to one devotee in those times who had complete faith in Swami, and it was Mr. Anjaneyalu. He was an excise inspector there. One Swami tells him, you get a statue of Shirdi Baba. He was follower of Shirdi Baba. He had heard about him but did not have a statue. Swami told him, you go to Penna Hobilam. There is a Lakshmi Narayana temple fair. You go there, you will find a statue there. So he goes there and he finds, to his utter amazement, nobody knew about Shirdi Baba then. I'm talking about 1940s in Puttaparthi and Urvakonda and these areas. But there, to his surprise, he finds this Shirdi Baba statue. He brings that statue and he goes to the garden. He had a big garden which was attached to the school garden. So he selects a particular boulder and he keeps this statue on top of that boulder. And it is to that sacred shrine that he had created that Swami starts coming every Thursday, and he starts these prayer sessions, puja sessions. The whole school would come every afternoon, including the principal, headmaster, assistant headmaster. Classes would end in the afternoon early, and they all used to go on every Thursday, and Swami would do this puja to this shrine, which was the Shirdi Baba shrine. And it was on October 20th, 1940, that when Swami was going to the school, there was a collar pin that was gifted to Swami by another transport commissioner, and that collar pin falls down. Swami goes to the school and Swami cries, apparently cries, seeing the collar pin fell down. And then Swami comes back home and Swami then throws the books, and Swami says to his sister-in-law who was at the house that, I do not belong to you. My time has come. My bhaktas are calling. I have my mission to accomplish. I am going. That is on 20th October 1940. At that point in time, the radiance that his sister-in-law sees in Swami blinds her. It was so, he was so full of effulgence. And then Swami goes, leaves his brother's house and goes to this garden, and he sits on this boulder in Urvakonda. And people start gathering, because by then a lot of people in Urvakonda had developed faith in Bhagwan. And people start gathering, and at that point in time, Swami then sings the bhajan. Manas bhajare guru charanam dustara bhava sagar taranam. So that is the start of the avataric mission, which happened in such a melodious manner. And that is what this kriti also talks about. Pranamami Saisha. Pranamami Saisha. Sakala bhuvana shubhakara ghana charita. Pranamami Saisha. We have to offer ourselves at the charanam, at the lotus feet of this beautiful Lord. Once we offer ourselves at his lotus feet with faith, with sincerity, with undiluted surrender, we offer ourselves at his feet, and then we can see how our life becomes so sweet. We have to do this experiment. We have to offer and then see what he has to offer us. Sheetala charanam komala charanam manjula charanam mama guru charanam prema data sai guru natha prema data
Sai Guru Natha Pavana Charanam Sada Smarami Pavana Charanam Sada Bhajami Shitala Charanam Komala Charanam Manjula Charanam Mama Guru Charanam.
So dear listeners, that was a talk that I was blessed to speak at the Satsang Hall very recently on the theme of Bhagwan as the Sadguru. We hope this was of use to you. Please feel free to send us your comments. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. We look forward to your feedback on our WhatsApp number 9393-258-258. Once again, 9393-258-258. Thank you so much for being with us. Sai Ram.